I'm in the market to buy a pair of tefillin recently because, as Hashem, my son is going to be bar mitzvah this year. And I'm not buying it. My parents and my in-laws are chipping in and buying him a pair of tefillin. But in doing the research, they discovered that for the best batim available, so one person told them the best batim available, $500. And another person told them the best top-of-the-line batim, $1,000, just for the batim without the parshias. So I was curious what the difference is between batim and batim. I don't know what the issues are. So today we'll discuss a little bit about the halachos of, I still don't know, by the way, even after the 10 minutes. I'm not going to know what the difference is between the $500 batim and the $1,000 batim. I do know that the Chafetz Chaim would have been very happy with either one of them. You know, like every bar mitzvah boy today gets a pair of tefillin that the Chafetz Chaim probably only could have dreamed about, the stama. But anyway, it's a good thing. It's good. We have such nice mitzvahs. But the halachos of the batim are essentially as follows. Each of the batim has six parts to the bottom of the tefillin. Number one, you have the bias itself, which is the upper cube on top of the tefillin. That's the bias itself. Inside that, there are four compartments, and they're visible from the outside. The things you see on the outside aren't just scratch marks that they make in the tefillin. It has to actually be made up of four individual compartments that are pressed together, and those lines that you see are actual divisions between the compartments. Lines, they are scratched on the side of the bias to give, if it's just scratched on the side of the bias to give the impression that it's four compartments, then it's puzzle. It's got to actually be four different compartments. On the right side of the person wearing the tefillin, there's a three-headed shin on the side of the bias. On the left side, there's a four-headed shin. And the requirement for the shin is halacha l'moshe misinai. The Rambam in Parakimel, Hilchos Tefillin, halacha aleph, writes, shmona halachos yesh b'maisa tefillin, kula halacha l'moshe misinai, ulefichach kulan ma'akvos, that there are eight halachos in tefillin that are all halacha l'moshe misinai, and therefore they're all ma'akev. And one of them is this halacha of having the shin on either side of the bias. Although a lot of batim makers use some glue between the four different compartments, and again, this is by the Shel Rosh. The Shel Yad is one big compartment, as I'm sure you're aware. Shel Rosh is four separate compartments for the four parshios. So although a lot of the batim makers use some glue between the compartments at the base to keep the square shape, and that's okay, if you glue the batim together all the way up, and that's the only way it's held together, that's going to be pasul. A little bit of glue at the base to hold it together is okay to keep the basic shape, but if glue all the way up, then that would be pasul. Probably the nicer batim don't use any glue. They figure out a way to make it in such a way where it will retain the shape. The second part of the batim of the tefillin is what we call the titura, which is the base on which the bias sits. Meaning the larger square, the larger rectangle, I guess, upon which the bias sits. The requirement to have a titura is also halacha l'moshe misinai. At the back of the titura, there's a part called, third part called the ma'avarta. That's where the strap goes through in the back of the base of the titura. That's the ma'avarta. That also is halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, there is a small niche carved out on either side of the ma'avarta to show that that's different than the titura. That's a way of distinguishing it and separating it from the titura, because the halacha is the titura needs to be square. If the ma'avarta were just a direct extension of the titura, then it would make it into a rectangle. So that's why it's carved out a little bit, not just the hole that the strap could pass through, but there's carved out a little bit on each side. The fourth part of the bottom of the tefillin is what we call the tefiros. Those are the stitches which are used to close the tefila and connect it to the titura. There are 12 holes punched in the titura, four on each side, but you know, counting the corners, it makes for 12. And they put thread made out of gidin, of tendons of an animal, of a kosher animal, to shut the tefillin. The Mechaber writes, Tov lit for begide shor. The Mechaber writes that it's best to use the gidim of a shor. The Mishnah Berurah says, V'mein lo yikach migide behemadaka, that if you don't have gide shor, you can use the sinews of a behemadaka, but not from a behemat tmeya. If you use a non-kosher kosher animal, even b'dievet, it's going to be pasul. There is a machlokas, there's a discussion. Mishra Berurah is not sure if you're allowed to use gitanasha. Can you use gitanasha? It itself is not kosher, but it's part of a kosher animal. Okay, I don't think that's what they use anyhow, but at least an interesting discussion in the poskim. Halachal Moshe Misina, the tefiros also must be square shaped. It must be a perfect square, the tefiros themselves. The fifth part of the batim are the charitzim. Those are the shallow grooves around the titura. The halacha doesn't require that these grooves exist, but they're made there in order to keep the tefiros straight. Meaning that's what keeps the stitches in line, little grooves that they make to keep the stitches in line. And the sixth part is the se'er egel, the hair of a calf. If you'll notice, when you look at the tefillin, there's a little piece of hair that sticks out of your tefillin. That is not by accident. For the longest time after I became bar mitzvah, I thought that, like, look what a sloppy job they did, that there's hair sticking out of the tefillin. That is not by accident. When the parshios are placed inside the different compartments, they're rolled from the end to the beginning, and they're wrapped in a small piece of parchment, and there's halach l'moshim sinai that the parshios should then be wrapped with a piece of animal hair. Calf hair is what it usually is. Rama writes, Nog in Likroch Sear ala Parsha Vacharkach Korchanel of Klaf Kosher Vichosm Korchanel of Sear. We actually used hair to wrap the Parsha, then a piece of Klaf, and then more hair to wrap around that Klaf. So there's two sets of hair for each of the compartments. And the Mechaber says that it's Noagin that they use Sear Shel Egel in order to be, the Mishnah Berurah explains, Kadesh Yiskor Maisa Egel Velo Yechta, to remind us of the sin of the Egel, that we won't come to do such an avera again, or to be mechaper for the avona egel, or other reasons that are suggested in achronim. For whatever reason, we use the hair of a calf. The ends of the hairs, which were round around the parsha v'hayim shemoa, go outside, are left to stick outside of the compartment and protrude through a hole in front of the titura. That's the little bit of hair you see sticking out. It is the only way that you can identify from the outside of the tefillin whether you're looking at tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam or tefillin of Rashi, because it's coming from the parsha v'hayim shemoa. So based on where in the order you see the hair sticking out, you would then know whether in Rashi tefillin the hair protrudes from the third hole, in Rabbeinu Tam tefillin protrudes from the second hole. That's the way you know, because it's coming from the parsha of v'hayim shemoa. If you forget to let that hair stick out and you sew it shut, so the Rabbi Eider quotes in footnote Kuf from the Kol Yaakov Simin Lamed Beis Os Reish Yud Beis that you should be machmir and undo it and redo it in a way where the hair does stick out. Those are the parts of the batim. There are three general types of batim, only two that people still use. Called the three types are gasos, dakos, and pshutos. Gasos are made from one thick piece of animal hide, and it's by far the best method of making tefillin. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Beis through Dalid, and the Torah writes in Siman Lamed Beis, Lokech or Dak, V'yesh Shalokin or Av V'chazak, that most people use an or Dak, that's what we call Dakos, but some use a nice thick piece of hide, V'tov Lasos Kein, and it's better to do that because it's stronger, it will stay longer, it's the best way to make tefillin. Second type of batim are Dakos. Dakos are made from a thin piece of leather, usually from goats or sheep, and it's stretched over a frame of hide formed in the shape of a bias, and that's how they make dakos. And pshutos, which you never see anymore, are made from pieces of parchment that are glued together to form the shape of tefillin. There are poskim that hold that it's kosher, but many poskim assume that they're pasul entirely. There were people that wanted to sell cheap tefillin that made them at once upon a time, but you don't really find it so much in the Orthodox. You don't find it ever really in the Orthodox community. Each and every step of the processing of the tefillin, manufacturing of the tefillin, has to be done l'shem kedushas tefillin, and a person can't therefore just buy leather and make tefillin out of it, because the leather had to have been processed l'shma. If the leather wasn't processed l'shma, it's a problem. So you're not going to save money that way. There is also halacha l'moshe misinai called ribua. Halacha l'moshe misinai, the tefillin have to be in a perfectly square shape. The squareness of the bias has to be intrinsic to the construction of the bias. It can't be that you it's not square, so you just add enough paint on it to be thick enough to create a square. The actual shape of the bais itself before it's painted already has to be, we'll take a question at the end, already has to be in a square shape. Now the construction of a perfectly square bais is pretty much impossible, you know, to down to the exact millimeter, but we do whatever we can to make it look as square as possible. To the naked eye it looks square, then that's called square. There was one sheet in Rishonim that only the bottom, that only the titura had to be square, that the actual bias didn't have to be square. They found in Italy, I think in the most recent edition of one of the Jewish magazines, there were two Chashva Yidin in Eretz Yisrael who go around to Jewish communities discovering interesting things. They found actual tefillin that were buried that had a circular top and a square bottom. But obviously, we paskin it all needs to be square. The construction of a perfectly square bias, like we said, is almost impossible. We do it as good as we can. There's no requirement for the tefillin to be a perfect cube. Square is different than cube, right? There are three dimensions. The height could be taller. It doesn't have to be a perfect cube, but the length and width have to be perfectly squared. That's clear. Halacha, the Rama writes in Simulam Beis Siflam Tes, Gova Habatim Ein Lahakpidim Hu Yoser Mirachvan V'Yorchad. The Gova could be higher. It doesn't say Ruvua. It says Orach V'Rochav. It doesn't have to be a perfectly cubed thing. The Batim do have to be black. That's also Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. They have to be polished black, and there are many poskim hold that that is one of the halachos of Moshe Sinai, and that is absolutely required. And finally, the size of the batim. So the mechaber writes in Siman Lamed Beis that orach v'rochav abatim v'govan ein lo shir. There's no actual size that the batim have to be. However, the Bir Halacha in Dibur Maskel Orech writes v'anachon la'adam shiu tefillin tamid memutzaim. It's best to have average size tefillin. You don't want giant tefillin. You don't want tiny tefillin. Dahainu, what is average size? Lo pachos mishir etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim, v'lo yoser midalet al dalet etzba'os. No less than two thumb widths, and no more than four thumb widths should be the size of your tefillin. He says, lo yoser midalet al dalet etzba'os, v'ainu imatitura uma abarta, t'b'zei yatzal kalpada medina yidei akol. Even in counting the titura and the mabarta, shouldn't be more than four thumb widths. That's the ideal size for tefillin. And that's the general size you can find for most of the tefillin that you'll find on the market anyhow. Okay, those are some of the basic halachas of the batim of tefillin.